Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Betches Media presents.
Madam Speaker. Madam Vice President.
You want to hang out with us? Get your vaccine. Vaccine.
And so I went to Human Resources.
There's some things I just can't tell you on air.
The Betches Sup Podcast.
A woman's problem, if you will.
Hello, I'm Amanda Duberman.
I'm Elise Morales.
I'm Caitlin Bird.
And this is the Betches Sup Podcast, where C-SPAN meets the group chat to help you process and laugh at the biggest topics in U.S. news and politics. Today is September 22nd, which marks the very first day of autumn. Welcome to autumn.
And Libra season. Wow, so many things are happening.
She's a cusp baby because like sometimes it's like the 23rd, sometimes it's the 21st. You know, you can never quite be sure. So she's right
in that Libra, Virgo energy. In this group, we believe in cuspers, right, Elise?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I think that the science has shown many times that cuspers... The cusps are a thing.
Yeah. Is fall our favorite season? I think it's my favorite season. What about
you? It's definitely mine.
I do love tweed.
There's apple cider. I'm like already preparing myself. I'm like, it's hot
apple cider. You know, I'm really curious.
Riding boot season.
Exactly. Why is Christian Girl fall? Why do Christian girls have a monopoly on this season? I think we should do, I'm going to start promoting Atheist Girl Fall.
Mm-hmm. Atheist I think Girl it has Autumn. Something to do, and I don't know I can't take you through the full theory, but I think
fake
that
news.
It has something to do with pumpkin spice. I think that evangelicalism and pumpkin spice are linked.
I saw like this guy on a TikTok of like it was a man who I'm sure had great intentions, and he was wearing a shirt that said reproductive rights and pumpkin spice.
Oh no.
Listen, it's fine. High reproductive rights on your clothing all day.
Like?
We love that. Yeah, but those two together was an interesting, what are two things? Girl?
Yeah.
Interesting pair.
It also like, it's one of my, it's a thing that bothers me where you can tell like it's kind of supposed to rhyme sort of, but it's not, it obviously does not rhyme. That's too much.
We have
that's
much better good. Reproductive rights themed merch on our website that actually benefits. And like, if you buy so we have a couple things and a portion goes directly to the Texas Equal Access Fund, which goes directly to funding abortions, which is what we need right now. We previously have raised money for the law, for the lawyers involved, but now shit is dire. So we are just raising money for if only Starbucks would commit half of every pumpkin spice latte to it in a
Bobo
in Texas. Sounds like a good
for
marketing
every
strategy.
Pumpkin spice latte, they fund an abortion in Texas. They would actually have to be like recruiting people to get them. This is not good.
I think that would be the end of the pumpkin spice.
This is not
spice,
a good idea.
The pumpkin spice Christian Girl Autumn. Correlation,
it would be a heartbreak.
Sure.
Absolutely, it would be a heartbreak.
I was about to say these people freaked out over a solid red cup once. So if you made pumpkin spice fund abortion, I'm pretty sure.
But oh, I forgot about
like,
that.
How do we protest this without buying the pumpkin spice? So they buy the pumpkin spice to pour it out. It'd be very confused. They wouldn't understand the concept of the boycott.
I don't want to give the anti-pumpkin spice boycotters in this hypothetical scenario. I don't want to give them advice, but I think they would have to go to the source of pumpkin spice and buy out the source of pumpkin spice and then stop all of, just put a stop on all pumpkin spice nationwide.
Supply chain issues, you know, just get into that and get to the core of the pumpkin spice.
They would have to get into the supply chain.
They would have to rebrand it like they did with French fries somehow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know. Gourd.
Take it back. Our gourds.
Jesus. All gourds matter. 100%. So we are also going to start today with a little UNGA update. Yesterday yes. was the second day, I believe, of the United Nations General Assembly, which means mm-hmm. you cannot get around Midtown Manhattan. And we're learning about what these world leaders have planned for the next, mm-hmm. Until the next one. So what do we got, Elise?
Okay. I promised to provide a 60-second UNGA update. So I am going to time myself because I'm going to hold my, I told you via text it would be 60 seconds and I'm going to hold myself to that. So starting now. Okay. BTS opened UNGA. They performed as in their capacity as international ambassadors, I guess. Then after that, the head guy of the UN, Antonio Guterres, I believe he spoke. Everyone's just talking about climate change and COVID and all that. Bolsonaro from Bolivia spoke on the first day. He is unvaccinated.
From Brazil.
From Brazil. That's Bolsonaro, Bolivia. Anyway, he's from Brazil, very much from Brazil. He's unvaccinated and he was like, it's fine. I took malaria medicine in the hospital. He really is like letting his freak flag fly now that Trump's not there. Biden also talked. He was basically like, sorry, we're nice now. We got back in the Paris Climate Accords, et cetera, et cetera. Then China committed to not funding any more coal-fired power plants abroad, which is a huge deal. Turkey said that it might be the last, that they're going to try to join the Paris Climate Accords themselves, which would make them the last country in the G20 to do that. And then also on the horizon, sorry, I'm 7 seconds over, but anyway, on the horizon, the Taliban asked if they could have a representative because just the old representative from the old government is there doing, I don't know what. And so we're going to see if they let him come and talk because everybody's been talking.
Mm-hmm. We'll give you 60 seconds because we took shaved a couple off. So had okay. we
because I also said I had to say Bolivia Bolsonaro anyway. That and those, I think pushed
both those
me
words
over.
Have a lot of syllables.
And well, I think me correcting myself pushed me over, and so I would like some of that time back to say, yeah, the Taliban basically there's an old the envoy from the old government that does not exist anymore is just there representing Afghanistan in I don't know what capacity. And then, I think it's a him, but I actually don't
guess. Yeah.
The Taliban's is definitely him.
Taliban's out there.
Yeah. But the Taliban now is like, well, can we send someone? Cause we want to address UNGA. Cause also everyone's talking about us. So maybe you could let us in and you could say it to our fucking faces. So yeah. That's kind of where we're at.
With all right, cool. So that sounds
Can I say one more thing? Mm-hmm. The China part is good. There was a really funny moment with Bolsonaro from Bolivia and Boris Johnson where Boris Johnson was like telling everyone to get the AstraZeneca back. He was touting the AstraZeneca vaccine, but Bolsonaro is right there and he's not vaccinated. So Boris was like, you should get the AstraZeneca. I've had it twice. And then and Bolsonaro was like, no.
That's hilarious. Oh my God.
Yeah, he's just unvaccinated and there. And I love thinking about in terms of like, you know, I had to just plan a wedding and stuff. I love just thinking about him as the unvaccinated guest who everyone has to be like, God damn it. And you know, he's not going to be cool about testing and he's like being a dick about it. And he can't go to any restaurants in New York. He's here and he can't go anywhere.
Wow. That's really interesting. It's just like Bolsonaro, just like the leader of Brazil is just in his hotel room by himself.
Absolutely. Plotting. Absolutely. I mean, he's terrible. He's a terrible person and he's in charge of like some of the globe's most precious resources. And it's really sad.
We should make a podcast about that.
He's in charge
that
of the Amazon and he won't get vaccinated and is screaming about like alternative medications. So
beautiful.
Really good.
Love to hear. Boris Johnson also somehow this week finally admitted that he has 6 kids.
Oh my God. Did he?
He finally did. He's got a 7th on the way, but there is one child he has refused to account for that came from an extramarital affair, I believe, or I don't know if he was married to the original person, but yeah, he has like 3 with a first wife. And then I don't know, he has a really young wife now who he recently had a child with and she's pregnant. They just announced she's pregnant again. And he acknowledged he has 6 kids already.
Mm-hmm. He had previously refused to say how many children he has.
Boris Johnson has his own Tiffany Trump. I hope Tiffany Trump and that child are friends and she's counseling
they start a group.
Them through it. Learning lots of things this UNGA. You didn't know he had seven kids? Yeah, somebody had sex with him seven times.
I didn't know he had any kids. I was not aware. I lived blissfully unaware that he reproduced. Like, I was living that life.
This is like,
I mean, until now, it could have been any number
existing. Yeah.
That's any my thing about it, incels, is that, like, some, it's your personality. Like, if somebody had sex with Boris Johnson seven times, like,
like, probably
across different women,
more than one woman. Like, that's the
thing. How babies are made? My God.
That's what I've heard. I'm doing my own research, but that's what I've heard.
We needed that really light opener because today we're talking about the debt ceiling. The nation is in some debt, which is normal. Mm-hmm. The debt limit is the maximum. I was telling Caitlin before, this is one of those issues that sounds boring to me and generally sorts itself out, so I try to ignore, but obviously now I host a podcast that a lot of people listen to, so that is not the right route, and I prepare myself. And now that I have, I think the debt limit is ridiculous and it should not exist, and we should never be talking about it at all. It should be indefinitely suspended, and we'll talk about why. So the debt limit is the maximum amount of debt that the Treasury can issue to pay the country's bills. We currently owe more than a year's worth of our output. That's a lot. That's an unusual deficit to have, one of the biggest in our history, but it's been bigger for sure. Some of the factors that have led to this situation are the 2008-2009 recession, the 2017 Trump tax cuts, and the pandemic. Republicans under Trump agreed to cut taxes without proposing any alternative sources of funding or making the necessary spending cuts. And obviously the pandemic demanded a lot of spending. We're on track for this fiscal situation to be about as bad as it was after World War II. Obviously contexts are completely different. I don't really know. I'm not an economist, so I don't know the usefulness with comparisons there, but the actual deficit numbers, they conceal our Social Security issues because there's a lot of things that aren't even in this. Like, we have a lot of obligations. The point is even more than that already scary deficit number suggests. So all of this does sound alarming, but Republicans have been pretty effective over the last decade at making the public think that questioning whether the debt ceiling should be raised is the responsible way to keep the nation fiscally healthy. As if every time we talk about this, we're explicitly making a decision about if we should spend more money. But the thing about the debt ceiling is that we're not trying to raise it so that we can pursue new spending. This isn't a matter of like tightening our belt for our future endeavors. We've already made these commitments. We've already made these promises. These are bills. It's like, we've already used the electricity. The bill is coming.
Yeah. Basically it's like getting your credit card, card bill and being like, well, actually in retrospect, I should never have had this credit card. And I will not be paying the bill.
I feel like I've seen a lot of sort of memes lately of like people getting catastrophically injured and being like having notes on them, like, please do not call an ambulance. Like, we got to call an ambulance. Like, we need to continue paying our bills. You are already hurt. You will not get unhurt if we don't call an ambulance. So there are no good reasons to create a crisis around the debt ceiling, which has been raised over 100 times. But every couple of years or whatever, we get in this really scary situation. Like, I opened the podcast with all those scary stats. If you don't know a lot about this, like, honestly, I didn't, you might think like, oh shit, maybe we like need to be more circumspect with this debt ceiling. But there are only bad reasons to even discuss not raising the debt ceiling. Playing with chicken with the debt ceiling, it ultimately does drive the deficit up. Even a debt ceiling showdown, which happens all the time, where Congress lets the public think that it might not do it, has huge consequences for the stock market. During these crises, the previous one, the U.S. had its credit rating downgraded. We remember that. And a rise in interest rates ultimately causes billions in increased borrowing and other people money and increased borrowing. And that drove the deficit even higher. And this is just from playing this game of chicken. We did not even default. Like, to talk about default is getting to a catastrophic layer. Like, people aren't going to get their Social Security checks. But even just getting in this position where we let Republicans play around with it causes a lot of damage. So to avoid reaching this point over and over, in 2013, Congress created a suspension for the debt ceiling that they have repeatedly renewed. But now that's expired, funding lapses next week, and the U.S. will run out of money and default by mid-November about if the debt ceiling isn't raised. A prolonged breach of this sort would cost 6 million jobs. It would wipe out $15 trillion in household wealth. $15 trillion wiped out. And that's all of us. That's people who don't have a lot of wealth, but maybe have a little bit. That's people in pension. That's everything. It would drive the unemployment rate to 9%. And this is all according to the chief economist at Moody's Analytics. So where are we with this right now today? So yesterday, the House is doing its job. Nancy's keeping everybody on task, as she does. And they passed legislation to keep the government funded through early December and lift the limit on federal borrowing through the end of 2022. In that bill, they also included some support for Afghan refugees and those impacted by climate disaster. So that's now attached. No Republicans in the House voted for this. And yesterday, Mitch McConnell said the debt ceiling will be raised. He's sure of it, but he's going to make Democrats do it all by themselves. Let's listen to him discuss this.
Now, Madam President, on a related matter, Democrats have unified control of the Senate, the House, and the White House. Their strategy for all this transformational borrowing, spending, and tax hikes was deliberately designed to include no Republican input and to receive no Republican votes. Since Democrats decided to go it alone, they will not get Senate Republicans' help with raising the debt limit. I've explained this clearly and consistently for over 2 months. We do not have divided government. Democrats do not need our help. They have every tool to address the debt limit on their own, the same party line process they used to ram through inflationary spending in March and already plan to use once again this fall.
So to clarify, we need to raise the debt ceiling to fund programs that already exist and were approved by both parties, or even just Republicans when they were in power. It's money for their states. Senate Republicans can filibuster the standalone bill to raise the debt ceiling and fund those other initiatives, and they probably will, according to Mitch McConnell. McConnell said that would force Democrats to basically pass it alone via reconciliation. I mean, now there are literally like GOP past Treasury secretaries who are trying to talk to Mitch McConnell to say, hey, you actually really need to help in this effort. So, Caitlin, why do you want to talk about this today? Where are we at with this crisis?
I mean, the debt ceiling, I can't remember how many weeks ago, but a little while ago, I was like, yeah, we got this transportation bill through, but the real test is going to be the debt ceiling. This is an obvious thing that everyone should agree on, because it's already, you already spent the money. Again, I love Elise and the credit card thing, because that's exactly where my energy was. It was like, you went and you spent the money on the credit card, and now you're like, I do not feel like paying this bill. I do not want to. And it's like, that's not how that works. And not any of that works.
I would love if that's how it works.
It would be amazing. It'd be so amazing. You could just be like, no, not paying this credit card.
This was free money.
but like the cost of the United States not fulfilling its debt obligations, like having learned about a little bit more about our financial system, the source of our currency, the people who run the largest economy in human history that is responsible for between 20 and 25% of global economic output, just deciding, hey, turns out we just don't feel like paying for shit. That would be so catastrophic. The order and effects, like, it's probably like the situation that you outlined, Amanda, is probably a small version. Like, that is the we want to curb our expectations here of how bad it could get, but it's probably worse. Yeah. Also, just to be clear, $15 trillion is our annual economic production. So just to be clear, wiping out $15 trillion in household wealth, I know that feels like a very abstract number, and basically be like not having an American economy at all, just like not having it for an entire year. No one buys a house. No one sells a car. No one, like, nothing happens. You don't go to Starbucks. None of it.
No pumpkin spice.
And basically, like, we all just get stuck in amber. But then the rest of the world continues functioning. It would be that bad.
Yeah, but then they never trust us or want to mess with us again. Because, yeah, you have Mitch McConnell saying, and even economists are like, there's absolutely no way that senators would ever let this happen. But I feel like the public, and as I said, I didn't, do you disagree with that? Or you're like, sure they would. Why wouldn't they? They don't care. I mean, yeah. Do I think, I don't think Tommy Tuberville is that concerned or knowledgeable about, like, he just does what Mitch McConnell tells him.
Yeah. I mean, they've played this game before to the point where, like, our credit rating was downgraded or whatever under Obama. So, and they're only crazier now than they were before. So they haven't gotten, they haven't become more measured in the years since. So it's hard to see. It's hard to see Mitch McConnell taking such a hard stance if he doesn't intend to follow through on it. So it feels like it comes down once again to, are Democrats willing to, I don't know, like, bulldoze through some of these ridiculous rules in order to get our government to be functional? You know, can we get rid of the filibuster? Can we change how this debt ceiling raising
they
works?
Definitely can. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, it's, but can we get them to actually get together and do it? And it's just like, every time it feels like I'm not optimistic.
Well, what Democrats tried to do with this legislation that they passed last night is that they attached the disaster relief to it because, you know, Louisiana, those senators are Republicans. And so they're hoping that the representatives from states that were impacted will come along with them. But they are more like John Kennedy from Louisiana was more just spinning it on Nancy Pelosi and being like, no, it's just callous of them to make us raise the debt ceiling. It's like the debt ceiling is going to be raised anyway. So it seems like a likely scenario is that Democrats will have to include this in the reconciliation bill. But my question is, does that give progressive Democrats and Biden leverage over Manchin and Sinema? Like, okay, we all, the 48 of us want the spending package to be $3.5 trillion. If you don't vote for this, you're also responsible for letting the debt ceiling lapse. So let's go.
Yeah, I mean, the biggest problem that we have is that reconciliation can only be used a certain number of times in a
year. Yeah.
So when you have to try to use what Mitch McConnell is trying to do is force Democrats to burn that $3.5 trillion reconciliation bill that they're trying to get through on a function of government that should just be a matter of course. No one else has this stupid thing in their laws. And there's a reason for that, is because it is stupid and it should not be here. And the only reason we had it was to force our elected representatives to stop and think about the kind of spending that they're doing. But that never happens. No one ever actually thinks about how this government works anymore. Sorry. No one ever thinks about how this government works anymore. So we're all just here treating government like theater. And Mitch McConnell knows that he's the ringmaster and he can, you know, fuck up anything. And people are just going to go beg and plead with him to do things like, please, Mitch, you know, don't let us do that. It just gives him more leverage every single time for this. So this is just about fucking over Democrats, taking the very reasonable package that we have and forcing us to use reconciliation when we really shouldn't be burning reconciliation on this, and putting Democrats on the defensive, because if you pass it through reconciliation, you have to set a number for how much you want to raise the debt ceiling by versus the regular way, which you can, it kind of makes it like open-ended, like suspended. That suspension meant that they never had to put a number on it. But now if they want to raise it through reconciliation, they have to put a number on it. And then Republicans are going to run, they made you spend $1 bajillion. And now it's because
they're spending Democrats. I was like, they should Democrats put a gazillion dollars. Like, they should just write $1 gazillion.
Yeah, they're just like Dr. Eviling it out here. Just like one.
The only purpose that the debt ceiling serves at this point is a political tool for Republicans to accuse Democrats of like wanting spending, even though we were in this fucking position because of the Trump tax cuts, because they just were like, sure, rich people can pay less and we won't adjust anything else. And now they're like, balls in your court, Democrats. Like, that's the thing. He's like, because he wants to make it a key part here is that this, we need to raise the debt ceiling to meet commitments we've already made. Republicans want to make it seem like, well, Democrats want to spend $3.5 trillion. They're going to have to agree to raise the debt ceiling, as if we're going to be like, oh, that's a hard choice for us. No, dude, we love spending. Fine. Great. Like, that's his like threat. Like, if Democrats want to spend $3.5 trillion, they're going to have to give themselves permission. No problem. No problem.
Yeah. It's, I mean, the whole situation is very interesting because, again, like, this has happened before. But also it just, I don't know, we were talking before recording about how, like, it just lays bare how, like, everything is kind of held together with spit. And, like, there are all these rules that exist kind of for no reason, but in nicer times, no one, like, played games with them. So it was fine. But now it's like, it feels like we have to get rid of so much bloated stuff from our government, like this process of raising the debt ceiling to pay for things that we're already committed for that is now being used for, like, political gain. I mean, the filibuster, obviously, we've talked about a million times. Like, it's just every single place we turn, it's like the system needs a full tune-up.
Right, right. There's always some, like, arcane and completely unnecessary rule that takes over, takes up all the oxygen.
Exactly, exactly. Like, it's there are just, like, these ridiculous little rules that are standing in the way of, like, us having a functional government, us dealing with the literal pandemic that is happening, us dealing with the literal climate crisis that is happening. And it's the thing that's standing in the way is a rule that says every year we have to vote to say yes to the money we already said yes to.
Right. It's two-step verification, but, like,
yeah,
it's two-step verification, but they're like, find all the buses, but everything looks like a bus or nothing looks like a bus.
And half the, there's a little square of the bus is in the other square. And so does that count as the bus? We don't know.
We don't know. And then we just keep clicking, try again, try again, try again, over and over. Oh, that is our show today. Until the end of the U.S. economy, I guess. I'm Amanda Duberman.
I'm Elise Morales.
I'm Caitlin Bird.
And this is the Betches Sup Podcast. Bye.
The Betches Sup Podcast is produced by Amanda Duberman, Jorge Morales Pico, and Sean Kilby. Editing by Jorge Morales Pico. Social media by Amanda Duberman. Be sure to follow @Betches_Sup on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. And send us your emails to suppod@betches.com. Betches.